would like to thank each of you that have come out to these chapel services. Any night, folks came. It's not about this evangelist, it's about the Word of God. Amen. It's about being a light and testimony to a lost and dying world. And we appreciate the support. Some of you have driven a long way to be. Appreciate y'all being here again. What a blessing that is. And appreciate the fellowship God has given us. Appreciate the Word of God that goes forth. Of course, the folks from Anchor, the folks from Grace, these local churches that God has put us in that sweet fellowship these years, and what a blessing that is. And I know it was foreign in this area for a long time. You know, everybody's looking over their shoulder, they're paranoid, they're angry, they're jealous, you know, and it's just, it's a hard thing today to find churches that actually are willing to be in fellowship. Right. And, you know, I don't worry about losing people to another church. If they just, you know, have a genuine reason to go, then may God help them. As long as a good, sound, doctrinal, King James Bible preaching church, may the Lord help them and their family. Our church has picked up folks that have come from other churches over doctrinal issues. They've had to come. And we've taken them in. They took me in. And what a blessing that is for us, for my family. I mean, that with all sincerity. And so we appreciate these churches. We appreciate, I know the valley that we're in. There's so much jealousy and bitterness over one lost church member. They fight over them. Nobody can get along. If you had a preacher's fellowship, you'd be the only one there. And it's a good thing that we get together in the right auspices of holiness, godliness, and the King James Bible. And so that's very important, I believe, in this day. And God's given us a series of meetings throughout the year. Lord willing, we'll be back in Shingle House in May. And hope that for you folks are able to come. If the Lord wills, the Lord gives us that time. And then also, Lord willing, we'll be down here at Youth Week, of course, the end of June. Now, listen, it's for everybody. It's not just for the youth. It is for everybody. God has given us this meeting, I believe, 13th year, Lord willing, from the opening song when Brother Taylor gets up behind Brother Hain to preach. It'll be the 13th year of Youth Week, and what a blessing that is. Some of you have been there since the first, and many of you have been converted since that first Youth Week. How we praise God for that. We give God the glory for that. Your pastor will be in Blaine, of course, the end of March, and that's a blessing for us. And then if anybody wants to come to New Hampshire or Vermont area, we'll be up in Linden, Vermont. Brother Hartsock called us today. We've been in Linden, Vermont. And you say, well, what's so big about that? Well, it's Vermont in the summer. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. And so you make plans to be there, and we'll help find you lodging. And I was at Ollie's today, and they have a 20 by 20 foot grommeted tarp, and that's $29.99. In fact, the McVeigh family will buy that for you if you want to come to Vermont and find a nice tree to put that under. And now, if you want a hotel, they're about $200 a night for most hotels up there, so just throwing that out there. And so you might want to stick with the tarp option, but the Lord has been good to us. We thank the Lord for that. And look out, folks, Brother Harvey had called your pastor, called me today, and with all humility, wanted to know if there's a place in Youth Week for him. And I told him, I said, Brother Harvey, to be honest, I'm probably not going to have you preach this year. I'm not going to call upon you to preach this year. And I said, because you're just going to preach every service for half an hour anyway, so there's no need to call upon you. Amen. And so, Brother Harvey, Lord willing, is going to be here for Youth Week. Thank you. Talked with Pastor Black the other week. He plans on being here for Youth Week. I called Brother Vernon the other day, and he was just mad, so I hung up. Didn't want to talk to him. But I suspect that he and Brother Zach will be here for Youth Week, and God's just putting some pieces together. We do thank the Lord for that, and how we bless the name of the Lord. And how many days to October meeting, brother? Do you know offhand?
Oh, gosh.
Not too many.
No.
He sends me texts every once in a while, how many days is the October meeting? And I look at my schedule between now and October meeting. How many?
Probably
232. Okay, if you start a 232-day countdown, just show up after that, okay? Just trust Pastor Asquith, take his word for it. If we're not here, go after him. It's not my fault. Psalm 107 with the Lord's help. He said, why do you promote that? Because you and your family need to be under preaching.
Yes.
He said, so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
And today, religion has less preaching. Church has less preaching. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound critical, but anybody familiar with the Asbury revival going on for the last 11, 12 days? Anybody familiar with that? Good. Don't look it up. Please don't look it up. Thank you for not going, brother. I would have shot you. And it says there's a big revival going on at Asbury College. The band has not stopped playing now for something like, I think it's 11 days. The band, listen, they're having a revival. The band has not stopped playing.
Right.
Now, if I went, you know, I would pull Sammy Allen. I'd like to just say a quick word if I could. Amen. But I wouldn't go. You know why? It's just sensual music. It's all it is. They're having revival of music. It has nothing to do with preaching. They did that a couple years ago in North Carolina, called it the Great Revival. But Brother Vernon's son lives off the Elon exit, and he said, oh, I thought they were just having a sale on cars. I thought it was a car lot. And his dad said, no, it's a great tent revival. And he goes, well, nobody here around here knows about it. The next year, they put a liquor store on that exit. Well, that's revival. Revival has come.
Right.
Now, when they talk about revival in the old days, the bars closed permanently. Bartenders got saved permanently. Amen. And folks got born of God. And towns changed. Lives changed. But you know what the real evidence is? Homes changed.
Yes.
And the home changes, the town changes.
That's right.
I looked around Black Creek the other night. I was talking about the Skelton. And I said, you look around here and how God has just filled these houses with saved folk.
How about that?
Folks in the house of God.
Yes,
and listen, I don't live here, but it's a peaceful, quiet little town.
Right.
And God's done that.
Right.
100 years from now, if the Lord has not come, if the Lord does come, it's going to be really bad. But if the Lord does not come, you know, it could be hell on earth again. But right now, God has given this town a rest.
Sure.
God has given this town some relief from the dregs of sin. And that's just the mercy of God. Well, we're just going to make a few comments about these verses. They really kind of comment on themselves. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, the scripture tells us the Lord is good and doeth good. And I said many times, I probably said it last week, but it's the very character of God to be good. That is the goodness of God that leadeth into repentance. It's not what God does for you, it's who he is. That God would even lead you to repentance. It's not always what we would consider to be the blessings of life that God uses to lead a person to repentance. Sometimes it's the tragedy of life.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's the horror of life. There's things that God will put you in calamity that you would see him. There are men genuinely converted in the Ardennes. There are men in foxholes genuinely came to repentance. Why? The goodness of God.
Yes.
There are men, no doubt, in prisons. Some that have genuinely come to repentance. Why? The goodness of God. There are people genuinely been born of God through tragedy, through divorce, through loss of families. There are those that have come by the goodness of God. It's God's very character, God's very nature to do good. And God is a good God. And the Lord has been good to you. And bitterness, people can't see that. Oh, they look at the calamity of their life. You know, part of test of bologna. You know, bologna goes good with cheese and wine. Did you know that? Just throwing that out there. And that's what a lot of bologna is. A test of bologna is just a lot of wine is what that is.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's just about, oh, woe is me, woe is me. You know, and there's a little flicker of light, and all of a sudden God's good, then woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. That's just the average religious practitioner today. As long as things are good, God's good. As long as the finances flow, God's good. You know, as long as my business is running well, God's good. No, God's good whether your business fails or succeeds. God's good whether you're all bankrupt or if you're prospering. God is still good, and he's still good to you. He goes on in verse 2, and he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Anybody here redemed?
So.
There we go. You saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, there's a testimony on the lips of God's saints. The words that they speak, they are truth. Why? Because God has given them the words to speak. You may not fully comprehend or understand. There are those that speak that in their own way of speaking, it's hard to comprehend what they're saying, but they will testify of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed.
Yes, sir.
And there are many that are ashamed of the gospel. By the way, that verse has pricked many a heart.
Yeah.
There are some we know who have come to Christ because of that very verse. They realized they were ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They had the Jesus First pin on the inside of their jacket. And that's a lot of people still. They keep that Jesus thing to themselves, unless they're in good company. Then they pull it out and wave it around like a banner. They'll go march in a pro-life rally, but they won't go to church. They'll walk up down the street and they'll protest all, you know, Russia attacking Ukraine. They'll protest abortion. They'll protest all of these things. And they'll march whenever it's popular, but they won't testify the goodness of God. You can't help but testify the goodness of God if indeed the goodness of God has brought you to repentance. You can't help but speak the things that God has done in your heart. It's a new song that he's given you. And he said, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And so is there anywhere that God has not delivered them? No, there is not. He said, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. We'll go back to what we used it last week, but I'll look at Psalm 34 for just a minute. And Psalm 34, the psalmist says it in this way. This is, of course, the Psalm of David when he changes behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. But he said in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And then he said this, and delivered me from all my fears. In verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's the goodness of God. That is the goodness of God towards us. He goes on and he says in verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. Now listen to me. Out of all their troubles. Could it be the things that we think are trouble, God doesn't see as trouble? Because he said he delivereth them out of all their trouble. We see things that trouble us, and I believe there's a lot of things that trouble us that really don't trouble God. We wring our hands and fret things that God can take care of, God has taken care of. If we'll commit all our ways to him, he will direct us, he will guide us, he will deliver us. And then he said in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that's what I'm speaking of. We consider that trouble. You realize in the Word of God, in the book of James in chapter 5, he said, if any among you is afflicted, now just bear with me on this, church. If any among you is afflicted, let him pray.
Amen.
Are we okay on that?
Good, brother.
When do you call for the elders of the church? When somebody's sick. Now, can I say to you, a cold is affliction, not sickness. I'm just throwing that out there. Pastor, I got a cold. I'm going to submit myself to the church, gather the deacons, gather the elders of the church, they anoint me with oil. That sickness bears a connotation there of being sick. Hezekiah was sick. There are people that are sick. There is no help for them outside of the Word of God. But he said, if any among you is afflicted, you see, we've taken affliction because we do live in an easy society. We live in a very comforted society. We have everything we need. We don't see death like the days of old. We don't see children dying young like we used to see. We don't see calamity upon families like it used to be. House fires and destruction and natural disasters and children dying. And sometimes it's scarce because of famine. Food would be scarce and comfort would be scarce. And if you did have a bed to lay in, you had fleas and bed bugs and ticks and roaches and everything else would eat you alive. Folks were not comforted. They did not have the ease that we have. And so when they were afflicted, their affliction was pretty great upon them. We get a hangnail and we're afflicted. Then we get some wine out with our bologna. We have all these afflictions that come upon us that are so heavy upon us that we've lost sight of the reality of people that are truly afflicted. We can't bear one another's burdens today. We won't bear one another's burdens. Why? Because we're so concerned about our own afflictions. Look at what the Apostle Paul called just light affliction. You ever been beaten? You ever been shipwrecked? The average Christian would be floating around the ocean on a piece of wood crying, right, texting out prayer requests. Amen. Sister Ruth Ann, thank you, sister, for what you do. Thank you. Please pray for Tim McVeigh. He's in the ocean on a piece of wood. He doesn't know how long the wood's going to hold up. Amen. And then nobody's going to pray anyway. Many of the afflictions are righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Let's go to Psalm 51. We're going to jump there off of verse 18. Psalm 51, in verse 16, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I would give it, I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Who does the Lord deliver? Those with a contrite spirit. Those with a contrite heart. Those that come to him and know there's no recourse outside of him. That's desperation. Why do you cry? Because you're desperate. They're in the wilderness. They're wandering. There's no relief. There's no water. There's no food. They're out in the wilderness. And finally it comes to the place they just say, "Help!" And by the way, it's probably good to cry it in secret, because the Lord that heareth in secret rewardeth the openly. How desperate are you? There's light afflictions. I'm not mocking. I've been there as a Christian. I've been there. Pray for my capillary on my left knee. Pray for my wart. Now, I want to say something. The Lord taught me a valuable lesson. It's been a long time now, so I can just talk about this. I had skin cancer on my head. The doctors, you know, want to see a picture of it. They don't want me in the office. They won't take a picture of it. It's a VA. They don't want you actually in there. I don't think they're in there. Amen. They said take a picture. They couldn't get a clear enough picture. So she says, "Well, she says, just keep an eye on it, and we'll see what it goes." Well, I'm just telling you right now. You go on the internet, look up every single picture of basal cell carcinoma, and I had it on my forehead. I had it right here. People go, "Is that a zit?" I go, and I tell people, "No, it's skin cancer." Ha 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 ha. You know, okay, that's fine. Well, they said, "You can't do anything about it." And you know what I did? I just went to the Lord and said, "Lord, if it be your will, that I don't," and I'll be honest, I said, "I don't have to deal with the hassle of the VA and deal with all this nonsense. If it be your will, would you remove that from me?" And I woke up one morning, it was gone. It just fell off. Now, that's pretty major to me. It's skin cancer. Not as major as stage 4 lymphoma. But is anything too hard for God?
No.
But Lenny, I'm not trying to point you out or embarrass you, but this is Lenny. Don't want to embarrass him.
You can't.
Amen.
What a man.
That's right. I had a Roman Catholic man taught me years ago. I said something about, "Well, what would they think about?" I'm talking about 20 years ago. He goes, Why do you care what people think about you?" I was under conviction for 3 days. Why did I care what people thought about me? Amen. That'll help some of you. Some of you probably need to care a little bit more, but I'll leave that alone. Amen. There's two sides of that coin every time. Is stage 4 lymphoma a light? Is that affliction? I call it sickness. Bear with me. Should listen to the preacher about 5 minutes ago. It would have helped you. That's sickness. My wife and I got a friend right now with lymphoma, and it's metastasized. They're calling it stage 3 lymphoma. It's sickness. It's serious. That's not an affliction. If anyone is afflicted, let him pray. But you know what the Lord does? Whether you're sick or whether you're afflicted or just distressed, the Lord delivereth them.
Amen.
Out of all their trouble. You know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for a broken spirit. And Brother Maury, not to give you credit, we thank the God that saved you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Gave you a message.
Yes,
sir. And a broken and a contrite heart. What's contrite heart, Brother Dale?
Yes, sir. It's a deep and absolute sorrow for what you've done against the Holy God.
It's a deep and absolute sorrow for what you've done against the Holy God. Couldn't have said that better myself without repeating him. Amen.
Can I say something about my affliction?
You may, yes, sir.
When I was having chemo, I would have immune therapy on Friday. I would have chemo on Saturday. I would sleep all day Sunday, and I'd go back to work on Monday. And the doctor says, "You're not getting sick?" I said, "No, ma'am." "How are you not getting sick?" Because lots of people are praying for me.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I like that. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm stubborn anyways.
And thick skin. Amen. Lenny's been about half dead about three times since I've been coming up here in 13 years. I'm telling the truth, am I not? COVID, history plate, he's bionic. I mean, nothing's original except the mug, and I can't change, okay?
The Lord's not done with me yet.
He's not done with me. That's exactly right. Put him in the house of God. Thank God for that. Now I want you to bear witness of this. When you truly get to that place of absolute sorrow over your condition, you're standing with God, what you've done against the Holy God. God will hear you.
Yes,
God will hear you.
Amen.
Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
God will hear you.
Sure.
Now, going back, listen, we know where y'all are on this, okay? Is God obligated to hear you because you cry? No. But God hears you when that heart is broken.
Right.
A lot of folks with a broken spirit.
That's right.
They've been whipped into submission. They're bitter. They're wounded. They're hurt. They've been whipped into submission by the world, by life, by the devil. They're absolutely broken of spirit. It doesn't mean they're saved.
That's right.
But you get that contrite heart.
That's exactly where it is.
That heart before God is broken over what you are and who you are. God will save the others. He will deliver when you call. He will come to where you are when he hears that cry.
Exactly right.
Psalm 107. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And then in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works.
Yes.
To the children of men.
Yes.
Now listen, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
Was God good to you today?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
Did God feed you today?
Yes, sir.
Did God clothe you today? God put you in the house of God today?
Yes, sir.
God keep your family together today?
Yes.
He's good. God give you life today.
Yes.
Yes, he did. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works.
Yes.
Now, let's take that away from health and let's move on to his wonderful works.
Okay.
What are his wonderful works to the children of men? Well, I'll tell you a pretty big one, something I just thought up. His son came into this world to save sinners. That's a pretty wonderful work.
Yeah.
Died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. That's pretty wonderful work.
Amen.
And you ought to be praised for it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Do we really believe whosoever will may come?
Come on, brother. Come on.
So why won't you come? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He told you that. If you won't come to him, it's because you don't believe God.
That's right.
Why don't you believe God? Your deeds are evil. You don't want to be reproved. You want to be corrected.
Right.
So those people do everything they can to be distracted in the house of God because their deeds are evil. Distract others. Their deeds are evil. They do not want to come. Oh, I believe God. What God?
Right. That's right.
His wonderful works. What's his wonderful work? That he saved sinners through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What's his wonderful work? That he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to save sinners. That's his wonderful work. And all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. That's his very nature. That's the character of God. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Those works were to us. It wasn't to the whales. It wasn't to the puppies. It wasn't to the kittens or the parakeets. It wasn't to the dolphins or the seals or the endangered crocodile. No, his wonderful works were to the children of men. That's the goodness of God. For he satisfieth the longing soul and then filleth the hungry with goodness. We talked about that in Psalm 34, I believe verse 10. Has God filled you? Are you satisfied in your soul? Do you know why we came together last week, this week? I know two pastors sitting here have folk in the church that are not satisfied. Be at Anchor Baptist Church on Sunday. Some folks there are not satisfied. Their soul is lean. Their souls are starved. They feel like there's no goodness been extended to them. They're hungry and thirsty. They're in the wilderness wandering. Wait for God to deliver them. They will not come to him. There's three pastors here said, you know what? Let's have some special meetings. Let's just assemble ourselves together in hopes that some folks could find relief in the wilderness.
Yes.
That they could find that hunger and thirsty filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yes.
For they shall be filled. We hunger and thirst after everything else but his righteousness. We hunger and thirst after all the lust of this world, the affairs of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We hunger and thirst after all of these things, but we forget that we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you. We seek money. We seek notoriety. Seek power, but not everybody. Do you know some people just seek to survive? There are those that just try to survive. They're just trying to get through another day, just trying to get to another day. There's probably more people like that in this world than there's ever been, percentage-wise. There's more people in this community than there's ever. They just try to make it through another day. Homes are filled with men that sit there lonely and despondent, sit there in front of the television.
Right.
I want you to listen to me closely. We floundered around a little bit, finally found a little place to dig up a rock. You'd be appalled how many people sit there with a loaded gun beside the television set contemplating blowing their brains out. They're empty, they're void, they're starving, they're in the wilderness. And day after day they contemplate, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? They ride down the road and they contemplate putting that vehicle into a foam pole or a tree. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? The addict is hopeless. The pervert is hopeless. The godless are hopeless. Men sit there and watch that pornography filled with all manner of lust. When the lust is consumed, they're left empty and void. And they sit there contemplating the value of life. They barely make it through another day. They drink themselves into oblivion, dope themselves into oblivion. And they sit there in the despondency of life, despising their life, despising what they are, despising what's taking place. Many drug overdoses are intentional. Suicide's horrific. It's destroyed the nation. It's destroyed homes. It's destroyed. There's not a family in here that probably hasn't been touched in one way or another by suicide.
Right.
Why? Men are so hopeless. There's a leanness to their souls and there are wantonness to their souls. And that's why I said the righteous shall wax fat. God satisfies their soul. God will give them bread for their soul. God will give them water for their soul. We're in a day when preachers, King James Bible-toting preachers, are committing suicide because they're despondent. Preachers' wives. Preachers' children. I know of an incident. 21-year-old girl, newborn baby, walked out into traffic. Left a note. Didn't want her children growing up with the horror of the devils that she had. Preacher's daughter. How low do you need to get? That secret life, that lying in secret. That secret in your marriage, that awful secret in your marriage. Be in hell about 10,000 years and finally you might start to regret you just didn't come clean about it. Be in hell, suffering the torment of hell. Wishing somehow you had the courage to just tell your spouse and be honest with your spouse. In the awfulness of hell with secrets still in your heart. God will bring them out, that great white throne judgment the whole world will know. And you'll scream in agony as you're cast into hell with secrets. That double life, that secret life. That thing you thought nobody would ever find out about and God reveals it to the whole world. And your shame will be great. Is it worth going to hell for? Does thine eye offend thee? Pluck it out.
Amen.
Does thine hand offend thee? Some of you men listening.
Come on.
You cut it off. Better off going halt and blind.
Yeah. That's
right. Maimed.
Yeah.
Missing limbs. Then you are going to hellfire with every part of your body.
Right.
I know the skeptic says, well, that's foolish. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What if you give in exchange for your soul?
Well,
you know how you deal with your past? You be honest about it. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. It hurts beyond belief. But I want to show a hands around here. Those of you that have truly come clean about your path, don't you lie. Is it the greatest thing you've ever done?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God can deliver.
Woo.
Amen.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
And for his wonderful works,
yes,
to the children of God.
Hallelujah.
You can lay your head on your pillow at night and close your eyes and sleep.
Yes.
And God will give you rest. Why won't we come clean about our past?
Amen.
We don't think God can fix it.
No, we can't.
Can I say this? God can heal the addict.
Oh, yeah.
God can cure the drunkard. I had a dear friend of mine, by court order, had to go to AA. And he had to, you know, do the little stupid candle thing. And, you know, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. And he'd say, I'm so-and-so and I used to be an alcoholic, but I met Jesus.
Hey.
And he said, his counselor would go, what, you mean a higher power? He'd go, no. I met Jesus Christ. A man, he said he had a rock of cocaine the size of a golf ball in the back of his car. It was Saturday night. He said a thing hidden under the back mat of the seat. And he said he was riding down that country road and the Lord spoke to him. He said, John, you smoked that. I'll send you to hell. That Sunday morning, he walked in the church house. Walked in and sat down in the pew. Began to listen to the preaching. I was there the morning God saved him. My name is John. I used to be an alcoholic. But I met Jesus. I used to be an addict. But I met Jesus. I used to be an adulterer, but I met Jesus. I used to be a pornographer, but I met Jesus. I used to have unclean spirits.
Yes.
I said used to have.
Amen. That's great, God.
But I met Jesus. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Do you know what the picture is there? The picture is, well, I'm going to be carnal. Is anybody here familiar with the bridge over the River Kwai? I remember. I wouldn't watch that for anything. I don't think a man would be right with God and watch that movie, Timothy. I just wanted to root him out on that. The commander wouldn't bow down. So they took him and they put him in that hot box tin roof out there in the jungles of Thailand, Burma. They bound him up in ropes and they threw him in that hot box, curled up, and he had to lay in there in the fetal position. Much of that experience they filmed, they said, was based on the reality of the prisoners of war of Japan in the Burmese Peninsula. That's why the British did everything they could to not be captured, including committed suicide, because if they were captured, they would be horribly and brutally tortured. That's what sin is like. You lay in the fetal position in bonds. You can't stretch out. You can't move. You act like you're free, but you're so bound up on the inside. You got that secret life. You got that horrible thing you can't talk about. You got that awfulness you don't want to deal with in your life, and you're in there in that hot box, sweating bullets, sick beyond sick, about at the point of death.
Come on, preacher.
And then I diffuse. A quickening ray.
Right.
I woke the dungeon flame with light. He said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. That's what the Lord does for the prisoner. He said, because they rebelled against the words of God. You know why you're in bondage? Because of your rebellion. You know why you're bound up? Because you're a rebel against God. God's let you do this. God's let you go through this. God has you right where he wants you. In the hopes that you'll look up.
Amen.
Bunyan in prison for preaching. Took those milk cap tops. In the night hours wrote what's called the Pilgrim's Progress. The life of the believer. In a dungeon. On milk caps. And we're afflicted. And we're John Waller was in a prison cell, Culpeper, Virginia. They put him in a prison cell with a Baptist preacher in the hopes that Baptist preacher would preach out the bars to his congregants. But the James Ireland would grab those bars and preach out the bars. And the constable would slash his fingers with knives and slash his hands with knives. And he'd raise his voice the louder through the bars. They erected a wall in front of his cell there at Culpeper. You can still go to the Culpeper jail. There's a memorial there. He would project his voice over that wall to the other side and preach to his congregants on the other side. So they put swearing John Waller in the cell with that Baptist preacher. He was there to kill him. James Ireland went to the bars and he told his preacher, if you preach, I'm going to kill you. He warned him, I'm going to beat you. And he walked to those bars and he lifted up his voice, began to preach over those bars and preach on the mercy of God. And swearing John Waller fell on his face in that cell, was gloriously converted. Preached the gospel for over 30 years in Virginia, into Maryland, parts of Pennsylvania, down in the Carolinas. Became a part of that second great awakening in America. Why? Because God's interested in the prisoner. God's interested in those in bonds. God loves those that are bound up. There's not a one of us here that doesn't have things we don't want brought to the light. But if it's sin, it needs to come to the light. And God wants to bring us to that place where we can just come clean and be honest about what we are. Abusers of mankind, vile affections, injurious, blasphemers of God, scoffers, mockers, haters of God. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. What does that mean? He came into the world to save religious people too.
Yes.
Those in the bondage of sin, the prison of religion.
Yes.
Jesus Christ came to this world to save them. It is a great prison. The rules of religion. Now listen, I'm not condoning rebellion, but I've preached it, said it many times. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
Amen.
If he's made you free, there is liberty.
Yes.
You can do everything you want to do if you're saved.
Very
much. You just say amen on that.
Amen.
But what do you want to do?
That's good.
Well, preach out of God, get drunk.
Oh.
Well, if you get saved, You can do everything you want to do.
That's right.
But if you get saved, that drunken desire is going to change.
That's right.
Well, now that I'm saved, I can go do what I want to do. Yes, you can. I've been doing it for 26 years. But you know, it's amazing what I want to do. It's a whole lot different than what I used to do. I don't go to the same places, don't drink the same drink, don't smoke the same stuff. You just say amen. Hallelujah. Got born of God. Well, the Haynes, we were picking the other night, some of you weren't here, talking about that country music. Well, I remember not being saved very long. I had a car full of people. I had a four-seat car with a bump in the middle. And I don't know, six, seven people in it in the old days. And we're going to the bowling alley. And I remember sitting in the car and I'm just saying, hey, I want you all to listen to this. Listen to this. It had an a cappella gospel CD I found in a music shop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I put that gospel music CD in. And I mean, everyone nuts. What is this? Turn that off. What is this? And I remember just riding down the road. Tears are streaming down my face.
Glory to God.
I said, my want to change. My desires changed. I do what I want to do. That's why I'm here tonight. Not down at the honky-tonk, not down at the moon winks, not down there at the Legion, not riding the roads, not out there looking for a high, not looking for a drink, not looking for a woman. Hey, amen and amen. God saved by the good grace of God in the house of God on a Friday night. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness amen. And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
Only God can do that.
Amen.
I had a 1973 Gran Torino wagon. For those of you that are not familiar with that, it's probably the most least desirable car ever made. I'd be shocked if there's two of them on the road today because they were such horrible quality in 1973. Recycled metal, absolute gas burning, oil burning piece of junk. Now, some of you young people are going to stagger you because I paid $90 for it and got ripped off. Amen. We tore the back seat out, took the spare tire out of the pit so more people could fit in it. Used to run the roads, take a crew fishing, take a few riding around, joy riding, foolish. Never had plates, never had, I'm not trying to tell booger tales, just never had registration. I remember the day I pulled into the country store and a guy comes in and goes, sir, is that your wagon out there? I said, yeah. He goes, it's on fire. I would run out the door and it was just the normal. About 2 quarts of oil an hour. You know what the first thing that they would have got saved? A man came to me and he'd asked me before. He said, will you sell it to me for $50? I said, no, sir, I'll take $100. He wouldn't buy it. I called him on the phone. He said, you still want that thing? He said, yeah. I said, get it off my yard. I come home one day from work. It was gone. I said, glory to God. Around the same times when I went in the house, started cleaning the house, taking stuff out to the burn barrel and just burning my life.
Amen.
Clothes, music, filth,
right. Yeah.
Movies, magazines,
come on.
Godlessness, oh, wretchedness. God. I did say clothes, just throwing that out there. Amen. Listen, if I go to the beach now, I don't go on the beach if there's a hole in my swim trunks knee. I'm just throwing that out there. Some of you will get that tomorrow. I said, I burnt my clothes. Everybody doing okay on that?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. My tank tops got longer. They got sleeves on them. I was a cool redneck. I mean, Larry the Cable Guy was our hero. I mean, we'd rip sleeves off our flannel shirts, right. Do curls before we went to town. That's why I make fun of that stuff. You know, we were the biggest rednecks. Well, I wasn't too long saved. Well, I was embarrassed to death by that stuff. I said, my want to changed. My desires changed. What is it in your life God keeps nipping at you about? You hate your parents? You hate your parents? You hate your father, hate your mother? Despise them? I don't care how bad they've hurt you, you despise them? There's some ladies here who tell you stories about being hurt. I mean being hurt by parents, hurt by family, hurt by grandparents, hurt by relatives. I mean hurt. I'm talking about abused, molested, wounded. There are men in this room who can tell you about being abused, sickeningly abused by relatives.
Right.
I want you to learn how to forgive them.
Amen.
You know how you're forgiven? Because Christ forgives you. We went to the cross, they laid that whip. Before he went to the cross, they laid that whip upon his back. Were you holding the end of that whip? Yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they nailed him to the cross, were you not there mocking and scoffing with the rest of the world, cursing his name, blaspheming his holy name? They looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he who's forgiven so much has extended mercy to so many. And yet we can't forgive.
Oh boy.
Had a man today, his wife's dead. Died young. He said, my wife cannot forgive her grandfather for what he's done. I said, brother, your wife can't be saved. I didn't have tact back then, 3 months ago. He said, no, my wife's saved. I said, why can't she forgive her grandfather? If Jesus Christ has forgiven her, why can't she forgive? He said, brother, you don't know what he's done to her. Can I say to you tonight, you don't know what they did to him.
That's right.
Why can't you forgive? Well, Christ has done so much for you. There are people in this room dying in bitterness they cannot forgive. The slightest offenses.
Yeah.
But yet there's folks in this room who've been abused beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm.
And found forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
All good.
Right.
I want some of you to listen to me. There are people in this room that still tonight lay their head on their pillow, and if those thoughts come to their mind, they got to get out of bed and weep on the floor. Because the awfulness of their life.
Amen.
But yet they have joy in the morning.
Oh, that's good.
And that could be you. You don't have to take pills to hide your life. You can just bring that to Jesus Christ and lay it at his feet. Find the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because the Lord's good. And he doeth good. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. And there was none to help. You ever been there?
Yes.
Bloody, bruised, beaten, despised, hated. You know why he was beaten? Because you would be. You know why it was bruised? Because you would be. You know why it was bloody? Because you would be. So what did he do? He extended mercy to you.
Amen.
He said, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been hurt. No, but I know how bad he was hurt. There was none to help. But then they cried unto the Lord in their distresses. When there's no one to help, what do? You look up. In the lowest point of your life, you look up, you cry. And he saved them out of their distresses. And then he goes on and says, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. How does God bring you out of darkness? He puts you in light.
That's right.
And if we'll walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, shall cleanse us from all sin. You walking in the light? You still in the light of the Word of God, or you walking in darkness? Evil deeds. Church is a restraint.
Yes.
I said, church is a restraint. There are things you will not do because you come to the house of God. There is a fear of God.
Amen.
But if it were not for the house of God, some of you would absolutely be destroyed today.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Because I know I would be.
Yes.
Amen.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, men may now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. fools because of their transgression, and because their iniquities are afflicted.
Amen.
Foolishness is a great affliction.
Yes.
You will be, let's use an example. What's a hangover? The affliction of a fool. Is it not? I'll just be a little more coarse, not crass. What's an STD? It's the affliction of a fool.
Come on.
Why do you crash when you come down off drugs? Why do you have to have them? Because you're being afflicted. Because of foolishness.
Come on.
Can't deal with your past, can't deal with your life, can't deal with your present. So what do? You try to block out everything.
Come on.
And then God brings that manifest in your life, that work of your flesh, that you might see what you are and where you're standing with God is. And God is good to you to see, let you see that. God is good to you to show, you know why? He wants to take those bars and he wants to rip them apart. He wants to cut those chains asunder. He wants to make you free in Jesus Christ. He wants to deliver you from that bondage. That's what he wants to do.
Amen.
Fools, because of their transgression, because their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. There it is. There's the deliverance. You get to that place, God will deliver you. And he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I could stop. I've been 58 minutes, 22 seconds. Verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Why? Because he's been good to you. Declare his works. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. What's the picture he's painting there? The mariner on the sea. That man of the ship, in the storm when there's no hope, in the storm when it seems all is lost, in the storm as the wind howls and the destruction comes, the waves rise and fall and the ship is rent to pieces. And that mariner finally, in the last moment of his distress, before the sea just completely closes in on him, he cries in his distress. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. Peace be still. Peace be still. The winds and the waves ceased. And God brought them across. Why is there no peace? Because there's no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. You can't medicate it away. And you can't cover it up. And you can only fake it so long. But there's still no peace. Samuel Asquith, I thought, made a great statement. First time ever. Samuel, in his way, made the statement to us. He said, if it's peace that passeth all understanding, if you can understand it, it's not that peace. If you can explain your peace, that's your peace.
How about that? That's good.
I can't explain that peace. It's just like a blanket on a cold night. It's just a warmth on a cold evening. It's like the calm of a stormy sea. It's like the fair rays of sun in the springtime. It's like that dew that covers the grass. I can't explain it, but it's a comfort and it brings peace. My pastor, around Christmas time, as he's more geared towards seasonal messages, and he preached, and I'd be honest with you, I never thought of it this way, but I certainly didn't contend with him. He said, peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And he said, you know, he believes for 2,000 years, most people have said it wrong. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Who's on earth? Jesus Christ. Then he said, peace, goodwill towards men. Now, everyone in our church is looking at him like you're looking at me. Amen. But I started thinking about that. And as I was sitting there, I thought, glory to God in the highest and on earth, Jesus Christ came to earth. Glory to God.
Amen.
All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then he brought peace and goodwill towards men.
Yes.
That's the peace that passeth all understanding.
Amen.
Well, there's no intermission. Nobody brought popcorn. And so verse 32, let them exalt also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell. That is those springs of living water.
Amen.
And oh, how wonderful, how marvelous it is. And he says, they prepare a city for habitation, sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and making them families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. My sister, I've had a request. Somebody asked me if your daughter would play Ferris Lord Jesus. And as you did a grace so beautifully, if you would sing for us, Ferris Lord Jesus, would you mind doing that? Thank you very much for that. I don't know what the number is.
Page 5.
It is page 5. Thank you, Pastor. Just obey God. As she sings, just obey God. Well, God's pricked your heart about you. You let God just continue to prick your heart about that. You just obey.